Parrish again from CBS Sports. It's Wednesday, November 11th. This is the Eye on College Basketball Podcast. I'm joined, as usual, by my colleagues Matt Norlander and Sam Vecenia. We're now just, how about this, 2 days away from the start of the 2015-16 college basketball season. Finally, it's here. No more preseason rankings, no more preseason anything. By this time next week, we'll be talking about games. So we're almost to the thing we've been looking forward to. And for you, Norlander, that's double true, because not only is college basketball season almost here, your first child is almost here too. Have you passed the point of excitement? Now you're just anxious, frustrated. Where are you at in this process? I remember what it was like to be close to becoming a father for the first time, and it's nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Well, I'm 34. You were what? You were 19, right?
No, I was 20. Six. I was 26, which was probably,
which is definitely, it's a very different stage of life.
Oh, sure it is. Well, okay. First off, 26. So you got to understand where I'm from. Context matters. 26 in Mississippi. Like, I'm like old to be having a kid, right? But like in normal people terms, you did it more correctly. Now, I also had a kid at the age of 36. I basically have one every 10 years.
Yeah, I can't wait for 46-year-old Gary Parrish to become a father of three. Very much looking forward to that. I've been doing my own preseason anxiety rankings for this baby that's coming. Yeah, it is a son. He is technically due on Thanksgiving. My wife is entirely convinced that he is going to be early. She's also terrified that we're going to have a 9-pound baby, but a number of her friends have said, listen, that's basically what every doctor tells you, is that your child is heavier in the womb than it actually ends up, you know,
yes,
coming out to be when it leaves. But it is, I think I birthed a large son here. But I'm very excited, very ready, man. Just very pumped for that. But I'm thinking that you will probably have a podcast without me in that week at some point after the child comes, or right before. Because who knows? Who knows when it's? That's what I'm most anxious for. Is like, am I going to be driving to the hospital at like 4 a.m? I don't know.
All right, two things. First, I don't know if this is true across the board, and I don't think doctors do it intentionally, but I can tell you with my two sons, both of them, neither was as heavy as the last ultrasound suggested they would be. Oliver was very small. Aiden, I think, was normal size, but on the smaller side of it, but neither were, whatever their final ultrasounds were, and I couldn't possibly remember, but whatever they were, they both were delivered much lighter than they were projected to be. Beyond that,
preseason projections.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Beyond that, I think every pregnant woman for the first time like thinks that their child's coming any day. Like, you hear about the 8-month mark, right? And it's like, this baby, I'm ready to pop. Like, how many times have you heard a woman say, I'm ready to pop? I bet your wife said that. I'm ready to pop. And this baby's coming any day. And the truth is, they typically just, sometimes they come early. I here's what fact for you. I was 2 months premature.
Wow. So you were a true preemie. Wow.
I was in an incubator for 6 weeks. How about this? You want a quick story? So I was doing.
Let me take you back to the time I was in an incubator.
Yeah, no, listen. How about this? This is crazy. I was born, my due date was March 24th. I was born on January 24th. Spent 6 weeks in an incubator. I think I weighed 3.2 pounds and dropped down to 2.1. Like, they didn't know. You're not going to believe this. Everybody listening, not going to believe this. Doctors told my parents there was a chance I would be slow, quote, slow. And now look at me. All right. That's a true story. Okay, so how about this? Fast forward a couple years to 1979, my mother's pregnant again. Her due date is September 4th. So it's July 4th, and they're having a party at the house, like cookout. July, celebrating America, right? Celebrating the United States of America. And my mom says, my mom's like superstitious, and she tells my father, she says, hey, you know what the day is? And he's like, yeah, it's July 4th. What are you talking about? It's July 4th. It's Independence Day. She said, no. It's 2 months before the due date. He said, okay, cool. She said, you know, little Gary was born 2 months before the due date. And he said, okay, whatever. And she said, I think we need to go to the hospital. And he's furious, right? They got people over. They're drinking beers and cooking hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff. And she's like, no, I really want to go. He's like, well, do you feel bad? Do you feel something? She's like, no, but, you know, last time it was two months before. And we're 2 months before, and he's like, "You are out of your mind. Like we gotta go in there and tell all these people who are at our home. Hey, everybody, gotta break up the July 4th cookout because Jackie thinks she needs to go to the hospital because Gary was born 2 months early, and today's 2 months early for our next son." And she said, "Yes, that's what you need to do." So he's furious, right, cussing under his breath, perhaps outside of his breath, and takes her to the hospital. And drops her off at the front door, all right? Just says, all right, go check in. I'm going to go grab a pack of cigarettes and go park the car, and then I'll be in there in a minute. So he does exactly that. Cigarettes, car, parks the car. It goes in the hospital. She's had the baby.
No.
Weighed 2.6 pounds, dropped down to
1.9. Oh my God, are you kidding me?
No, they didn't think my brother would live. So like, is that like the crazy? That's 100% true story.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah. So my point being, sometimes babies do come early, but most times they don't. And if you're wondering if you were going to end up driving to the hospital in the middle of the night, that is what we did for Oliver. With Aiden, this is the best way to do it. As long as you know, considering you don't have to get cut on. Schedule a C-section. Go in, get that thing.
I promise we're gonna get to hoops in just a second. they don't recommend that you do the C-section because if you have a second child, it can complicate the birth down the road. They only like C-section is really they're saying you know unless it's literally her bones will not allow the child to fit through it. Or there is a breach or anything like that, they will not do a C-section because it can create serious problems. Plus, if you have a C-section, you have to have legitimate surgery and there's longer recovery time and all that.
You're phrasing it wrong. You don't have to have surgery. She has to have surgery. Big difference. Big difference, Norlander. Beyond that, you're exactly right. With Kelly, Aiden would not – he stopped. He stopped trying. He wasn't going to try to get out anymore. He wasn't fighting. And so – she was in labor like 12 hours, 13 hours. Then they scheduled a C-section. How about this? I was the Memphis beat writer at the Commercial Appeal newspaper at the time, so I was off the road. But Memphis was playing at Louisville on this particular night, national television game. My doctor, her doctor, our doctor, was a huge University of Memphis fan. So after it's very clear Aiden's not going to come out naturally, that we're going to have to do a C-section. He says, hey, listen, I know you want to watch the game and I want to watch the game. So like, why don't we, this is like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. We'll just sedate her. She'll be fine. She won't even know where she is. And then I'll go home, watch the game. You can watch the game and then we'll come back and deliver the baby. I was like, cool, doc, good plan. She's like, you sons of bitches. But that's what we did. Doctor went home, watched the game. They scheduled the C-section. Right after the game, he came back to the hospital in a Memphis basketball shirt. And did the C-section, boom, 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 baby's out, healthy, everything's perfect.
You have shared that story once before, I think off the air. Is kind of ridiculous.
But like, for the second one, for Oliver, we scheduled a C-section. I was like, yeah, let's do that C-section thing again. That was pretty easy. Like, we just like, it was like, hey, come in at 9, we'll deliver the baby at 10, you go home and tomorrow. Like, I was like, I like that. And then he actually did come slightly earlier than he came before the C-section was scheduled. And now we have two healthy boys, and I hope you have the same. The funniest thing about all this, and Sam, you might not even realize this yet either because you're young and childless, but Norlander, we were talking this summer, and you said, yeah, you know, I just figure, like, I'll watch the baby and work. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're getting into. Like, you cannot watch a baby and work. Like, is that still the plan?
Oh, absolutely. And plus, you got to remember, listen, this child is arriving – as the season begins in earnest, my wife will be here. She's got maternity leave, and the baby mostly needs her, especially for that first, 6 weeks to 8 weeks. And listen, we're going to be good, man. My work production is going to remain steady. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be available. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this look so good and so easy, it's going to infuriate you. So
see, here's the thing with this. GP, that doesn't really matter for. I'm the one that matters for. You ending up a little bit impaired as far as being able to work. And it's just not going to go well for me, and I'm aware of that, and it's okay.
It's it's just – I always say this to people. Anybody having kids right now is – anybody who already has kids, when they hear you say, it's going to be cool, nothing's going to change, like they are laughing at you right now.
Yeah, I know. No, in all seriousness, no, I'm super psyched to become a dad.
You should.
It's been a long time in the making here and very ready for it. And now, like, it's just it's a huge month here, so he'll be arriving. I just hope it's not on Thanksgiving Day, because let's be real here, like, the doctors that we have that we've been talking to, they ain't working on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I want the doctor that we've been talking with, who's been great. She's been fantastic, but
that does matter. We'll Aiden was delivered by our doctor, but Oliver was delivered by just the doctor who happened to be there, because, like, we came in like at the middle of the night. I mean, it was really like, you know, I think we were at some event, and like 1 a.m, Kelly was like, I got to go to the hospital. And like, you know, we got there and it was like, okay, it's time to have a baby. And everything was fine, but like, she was much more comfortable with her doctor. So yeah, I hope that, I hope that it comes at a time.
And I will say, and we can wrap it up with this, yeah, is that, if you want to check the, Ion College Basketball podcast archives to, I guess 25 months back or 23 months back in December, when Parrish recalls the story of Oliver being born,
oh, yeah,
and basically getting named and all this stuff. I will make sure that is not the case. There's not going to be any sort of signing of birth certificates, throwing in extra middle names of great aunts of years past.
Do you remember they gave me a private room to record a podcast? Cause that is the other thing. Like,
yes,
our bosses are super cool. And they were like, hey, Oliver was born December 27th, and our bosses were like, take some time off, and don't worry about anything. If you can't do the daily top 25 and one that, and I'm like, you don't understand. While you're in the hospital, it's like you really are unimportant. Like, you kiss the baby and you greet people when they come in, but there's nothing for me to do in the hospital. It's just, I'm sitting there. Like, I had tons of free time. And so I was like, yeah, I can still do a podcast. So they gave me a private room to do the podcast. While I was doing the podcast, Kelly started just changing our kid's name on the birth certificate. Like, she just wrote down different names.
Wait, what?
Okay, so we had talked forever. we will talk basketball, I promise. So, I have you guys picked a name yet, Norlander?
We have a few nominees. I would say we're down to three names. And by the way, it's amazing how many guys' names I hate. In researching this.
Well, here's the thing. So yeah, that the way it would work is Kelly would go, hey, let's talk about names, and I'd say, okay. And so we talked about names. I'd say, like, I hate that. I would suggest something. She'd say, I hate that. I said, all right, listen, this is a stupid conversation. Here's what we're gonna do. You come up with a list of names you like, and then present them to me, and I'll tell you which ones I don't hate, and then we'll go from there. So she goes, one day she goes, hey, what do you think about Oliver? I said, I like Oliver. Like, it sounds, I don't know what it's. It sounds like, not like Jeremy. So I'm
not big on J names.
Right, right. I said, I like Oliver. So yeah, that's cool. So then a couple of days later, she's like, because like, she'd spit out names. She'd be like, what do you think about Jackson? I was like, I don't like Jackson. Like,
we had, Jackson, with an, especially with an X.
Yeah, like, no, we weren't doing that. But it was like, Jackson, like Jacks, like J-A-C-K-S-O-N. Yeah. And I was like, we got a buddy who's from, kid's named Jackson. I don't want to, like, let's just stay away from Jackson. So my point being, she'd come to me with names, and I'd say, Oliver, yeah, I like Oliver. And then she'd say, Jackson. I'd say, I don't really like Jackson. She'd say something else. I'd say, I don't really like that. And then she comes to me, she says, what about Carter? I said, yeah, I like Carter. Carter's fine. Yeah, I could get down with Carter. So next thing I know, she comes home. This is all very early, like 4 months pregnant, 5 months pregnant. She comes home with like a pillow, and it's engraved Oliver Carter Parrish. And I said, what is this? She said, Oliver Carter Parrish. That's the name we picked out. I said, that is not the name we picked out. She said, yes, it is. She said, I asked you if you liked Oliver, and I asked you if you liked Carter, and you said you did. So Oliver Carter Parrish. I said, I like Oliver independent of Carter. Like, I liked either Oliver or Carter. I don't like Oliver Carter. It's like, Like, I didn't like that. And she was like, well, I thought you said you liked them both. I said, I like them both. Just like I like pizza and cereal. But I don't like them both together. I like them independent of each other. And she says, well, it's too late now. What do you mean it's too late now? You're 4 months pregnant. Like, the baby won't be here for a while. Well, I already got something embroidered with the name on it, as you can see. That costs $30. Are you telling me that we have to hold ourselves to a name I don't want? Over
a $30 pillow? Like, do you realize how silly that sounds? She's like, it's done. Oliver Carter Parrish. That's his name. All right, fine. Whatever. I'm not going to fight with you about this. Oliver Carter Parrish. Anyway, I don't even know what that point of that story was, except that... Naming a baby can be stressful. That's the point of the story. I hope it goes more smoothly for you than it did for me, but I do have two beautiful boys named Aiden and Oliver. Just one of them got a bunch of names in addition to that that I didn't pick out. Basketball season starts Friday. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that.
Let Sam say something for crying out loud.
Yeah, game-wise, Sam, the floor is yours.
No, I got nothing.
Please say something.
No, I'm kidding. First game of the year is North Carolina Temple, so that's kind of cool. I think that Gary will be there, right?
True.
So that's pretty exciting. We get to see a non-Marcus Page North Carolina. So I'm going to be interested to watch that game. It's on CBS Sports Network, I believe. That is right, guys? I didn't just make that up.
Yes, Veterans Classic is on CBS Sports Network. It's North Carolina Temple, then Florida Navy. We're talking on Wednesday. I'm actually catching a flight here in a few minutes, assuming I don't miss it, and flying to Baltimore, then to Annapolis. And I'm going to spend tomorrow at the Naval Academy with the teams, and I'm hoping to – I think the plan is to spend some time with Marcus Page. You know, what's it like for Marcus Page? I think this is the start of his senior season, and – you know, he's walking around, I'm assuming, with some sort of brace or bandage or something, unable to play. Like, hopefully I could spend some time with him, spend some time with Roy, and then just, get the basketball season underway on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty worthwhile thing. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, no, just real quick. So, Friday, like, the games aren't great, but we do have a few interesting ones. Gonzaga Pitt is probably the best of all of them, but I would argue it's that, and then Stephen F. Austin at Baylor.
Right.
Don't think that those Lumberjacks can't go into Waco and get a win. That might be the key one that kind of goes down. Overall, it's great to have games here. Temple Carolina, I would put probably as number three, and then I know
I'm pretty
Montana,
interested in Colorado Iowa State.
That might be decent. That game's going down in South Dakota. Because the Sanford Pentagon has an arrangement there, I think, for seasons to come to get some decent non-con games in there. So it should be pretty intriguing. Belmont at Marquette is one where, hey,
Rick Bird.
That's me and my man Rick Bird. And another one that I would just keep an eye on is two, in terms of small schools that could get wins on the road against major conference teams or at least bigger teams. Illinois State is capable of winning at San Diego State, even though I don't think that they will. And then Wofford goes to Missouri, and Wofford's better than Missouri, but that's a road game for them. So kind of a big opportunity for them to get a win against a Missouri team that I don't think is that good, but I think it's better than a lot of people think. But overall,
Matt and I had some arguments during the top 351 that we did about Missouri. I'm not convinced that they win 10 games.
Why are they going to be anything other than terrible?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be absolutely brutal. I think Alabama's going to be.
Here's how I know they're going to be brutal. First off, they were brutal last year, and there's really no.
Everyone transferred out.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, and then beyond that, I saw the quote from Kim Anderson yesterday. This is the quote that suggests things aren't really going so well. I had some Missouri fans when I wrote the Ben Howland thing, like, why didn't Missouri hire Ben Howland? They could have. He wanted the job. They just, for whatever reason, didn't want to go down that path. And now they're, going nowhere fast. And so I had some Missouri fans actually argue with me, like, it's just he inherited a mess, but, he's going to get it turned around. Here's how you know it's not going well. Kim Anderson delivered the quote yesterday that said, we've got some recruits that are going to sign. They're not highly rated guys, but they're guys we evaluated and we think we can develop. Uh-oh. Anytime a coach starts telling you how recruiting rankings don't matter, that means he's about to enroll some average recruits at best.
You're probably fair and right in that evaluation. And in general, the Missouri, the basketball team is, the 30th most important topic on that campus right now. So maybe that's good for Kim Anderson. Although I was interested, this was, if that situation had kind of carried into even the point where today on Wednesday,
right.
Would have been interested to see if the basketball team would have taken the football team's lead. Oh. I'm not sure if they would have or wouldn't have, but
I bet they would have.
there would have been some attention certainly turned to them at a certain point, even though football was obviously the big one with hosting BYU. One more game on Friday, UAB at Auburn. Auburn will be better this year. UAB is actually favored by KenPom in that game, has the better team. They could go in and steal a good road win. But overall, it's just, I'm
Auburn
just glad
that we have – better this year?
Should be better, Auburn? But I still think Bruce is one. Like, people are like, you know, this
they're,
is
oh yeah, they're a year away.
They're a year away. They're a year.
Yeah,
away.
I was gonna say, like, Katie Rell's really was really good last year, and they lost him. They lost someone else too, big man inside, I believe. So I don't know that they're gonna be better this year, but
I think Bruce will be Bruce, and they'll just be they'll be a little bit better. One of the best games for Saturday is Iona at Valpo, and those are two teams that should go to the tournament because they're the best teams in their league, and Valpo is
return everybody.
I mean, listen, I they got to be a top 40 team unequivocally, in my opinion, with everyone that they bring back. You know, Bryce has done a great job. Bryce Drew has done a great job with that. It's a home game for them. Could be a ton of fun. So that's, you know, Saturday, college football Saturday, I get all that. And it's not like that game is going to be broadcast on ESPN or anything like that, or CBS Sports Network because of all the college football. But Iona at Valpo is just a really fantastic mid-major level game because, you know, those are two really good coaches, two really good teams. But obviously, you know, the next time we podcast, the games that mean the most will have already been played. So I don't know if you guys wanted to get into that, but like Monday has Baylor at Oregon, Virginia at GW is pretty solid, San Diego State at Utah. These are all Monday games. And then Tuesday, it's you know, it's the 24-hour marathon, and we get into Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, Michigan State. Wichita State at Tulsa is pretty solid. Oklahoma is at Memphis. Alpo at Rhode Island's good. Georgetown, Maryland, Stephen F. Austin, Northern Iowa. I mean, we've got a slew of fantastic games. And, you know, I know people like to joke that, like, oh, yeah, the college basketball season starts when college football season ends or yada, yada, yada. But for people, like, people really see that college basketball started on, frankly, on that first Tuesday of the season because yep. That's when there's a 24-hour marathon. Yeah. And if you turn on it to ESPN, any of their channels, college basketball is going to be on literally for 24 straight hours. So as we look ahead, you know, Kentucky Duke, man, it's always special.
Yeah.
No matter what. And GP, you're going to be there, right?
Yeah, I'm going to the Champions, and I've been every year. It's a terrific event. I mean, it feels like, you know, a big-time college basketball event. You have four, probably, you know, four Hall of Fame coaches. I mean, Cal's already in the Hall of Fame, and Roy is, and Mike Krzyzewski's already in the Hall of Fame. So you get that. And then Bill Self's going to be a Hall of Famer, and Tom Izzo's going to be a Hall of Famer. So you get four blue bloods with Hall of Fame coaches, and the teams are typically good, and this year's no exception to that. Shouldn't be. So it's in Chicago this year. So, yeah, I'll go to the Naval Academy this weekend and come home for a couple of days and then pop up to Chicago for the Champions. We will – let's just go ahead and commit to this. As long as you guys can commit to it, we'll talk again Monday, like after a weekend of games, to sort of look back at what's just happened and look ahead to what should be a really good 24 hours of basketball. Like that Oklahoma-Memphis game is interesting, if only because there might not be anybody in the country who needs to get his fans off his back as much as Josh Pastner. And while I don't like the odds of Memphis beating Oklahoma, it at least is an opportunity for Memphis to turn the city back in its favor a little bit, because right now people are mostly unenthusiastic about the season. They played an exhibition last Friday night, and I think there was 3,000 people there. And this
really?
This is a place that used to pull, you know, 18,000 for every game, regardless of the opponent. And there was 3,000 people there on Friday night. And like they play Southern Miss this weekend, and I don't think it'll be much better than that. Even in a regular season opener, A, because of a lack of enthusiasm, B, because the Memphis football team is playing on TV at Houston at the exact same time as the basketball team. Mm-hmm. So, like, how many people are going to decide they just want to stay home and watch football rather than basketball, which is another, you know, it sort of further underlines the state of the program. There are Memphians who are going to choose to watch football on TV as opposed to basketball in person. And so that you know, in addition to the Champions and all the other good games, that Oklahoma-Memphis game is interesting just because you got a player of the year candidate in Final Four team in Oklahoma, possible Final Four team. And on the other side, you got a team that could really use an early win to kick things up to where they have typically been over the past decade.
Do you guys want to, I know GP's going up against the clock here to catch a plane, but we might as well talk about our, because by the time this podcast goes live, the site should have our final four coach of the year, freshman year, player of the year. So let's just, you want to run down that real quick and see, say who we said?
Yeah, well, mine's simple. I'll let you guys expand what I did. This is where I have like a, I'm so literal with everything. Like, why would you pick somebody other? If you really think somebody's a Final Four team, they should be in your top four. That's the way. I know not everybody thinks of it in those terms, but I can't make myself think of it in any other terms. So mine are simple. Whatever the four teams were in my preseason top 25-1, I guess it's North Carolina, Kentucky, Maryland, and Kansas. Those are the teams I put down for the Final Four. National champion, North Carolina, because I put them number one. Player of the year, Kyle Wilcher, because I voted for him player of the year, and coach of the year, Roy Williams, because I project him to be a national championship coach. So mine's pretty boring. I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, no, I don't do it the way that GP does it necessarily. I just kind of pick four random good teams because that's kind of the way the tournament ends up going, in my opinion. I don't really think of it as the top four regular season teams. Having said that, though, my number one team in the country is my champion. I pick Kansas. I think Kansas has the best mix of experience and high upside young talent with Sheck Diallo and Carlton Bragg coming in the front court. They've been doing some weird stuff with Perry Ellis at the three. They have a lot of wing depth already. They have all of the point guard depth and Frank Mason and Devontae Graham. So I'm pretty high on Kansas this year. My other three Final Four teams were Virginia, Kentucky, and Gonzaga because they're all top 10 teams, and I would like to see Virginia and Gonzaga make a Final Four eventually. I don't really have a reason for that outside of that. It's honestly a crapshoot once you get the NCAA tournament. They're both top 10 teams, like I said, so I don't have a problem with that. My player of the year is Kyle Wilcher. I think I've been kind of harping on that for, since last season ended, so I don't know that I need to go into that. Freshman of the year, Ben Simmons, and then coach of the year, Tony Bennett. I think that they do lose a lot in Justin Anderson and Darian Atkins, and I think he'll turn that around real quick. Plus, he's, you know, just an incredible coach, so why not? Let's just go Tony Bennett.
Okay, good thoughts. I share Sam's pick of Kansas under the presumption that Diallo will get eligible, and to me, he's the one player that puts them over the top. Self is also such an amazing coach that I kind of looked at his resume and I was like, you know, he's going to get a second one. It's going to happen. Why not this year? And I also have Self as my coach of the year because I expect the top of that Big 12 to be pretty competitive. And given what Kansas has on the non-conference schedule, I think that they'll be able to play themselves to a number one seed. And again, Coach of the Year in many respects is a regular season award, or at least it's handed out prior to the NCAA tournament. So I think Self will make for a logistical candidate. I have
so here's Virginia the thing. I kind of think that Kansas is going to run away with the Big 12 a little bit. Like multiple games.
I don't. I think they're going to be. Like, I think they're going to beat Oklahoma by one game in the standings. I think that Oklahoma is going to be right there, and then Iowa State will be a little bit down.
I agree with that standing. I just think Kansas is going to go like 16-2, 15-3 in that league. That seems, I don't know that Oklahoma will do that.
That seems hard to do in that league, but I wouldn't put it past them. But it seems hard.
All right, so Kansas is my title winner. I have Virginia. We had to pick a runner-up. Virginia is my runner-up, especially after, you know, Virginia's had a couple of just fantastic, terrific years, and I'm feeling like Bennett's going to break through this season. You know, he lost to Michigan State in the tournament last year. I do generally love what he has coming back and the system he's running. I have Virginia winning the ACC over Carolina. So I picked the Wahoos there. And then my other Final Four teams, I went with Maryland, despite the Deion Wiley injury. He's out for the year. Parrish got first word on that via Turgeon yesterday. I don't think that's going to impact in a significant way Maryland's big picture prospects for the season and for the tournament. So I am going to go with Maryland there, although that was the one pick that I thought the most about. And then I didn't go Kentucky. I didn't go North Carolina. I didn't go Duke. I didn't go Gonzaga, which is a little bit of a trendy pick. I actually went with Villanova, who I think is going to be pretty close to what they were last year. And again, similar to how Virginia, you know, they were actually in the same bracket, and both teams failed to reach the Sweet 16. I think Jay Wright, who I almost picked for my Coach of the Year, will break through and get to the Final Four because I love what they have. I absolutely love Jalen Brunson. I think he will be by far the most important player for that team by the time we get to March. Not Archie Diakono, not Josh Hart, not Ochefu, not those guys, but the freshman Brunson. And then my player of the year is Buddy Hield, who was my – I just stuck with the guy that I picked. And it was funny. ESPN put up their, like, 40 predictions or whatever. No one picked Hield. So I think I'm the only guy out there that thinks Buddy Hield will be player of the year, which I understand – it's a little bit of a contradiction because I've got Kansas winning the league, but I think Hield is going to have such a spectacular year, and I actually think Oklahoma is going to get a 2 seed, that I think he'll have done enough, whereas I'm not expecting LSU, which has a god-awful non-conference schedule, and I'm really angry that – I'm not angry, but it's just like it's a joke that Ben Simmons is not going to have a game worth watching until we get to January. You know, he'll probably put up amazing stats against crap competition, whereas Hield and Oklahoma has a really good schedule. They play in a really good league. I expect him to by far be the most – valuable player on that team, and I think Kansas will spread the love out more. So Hield is my pick. And then Frosh of the Year, I go Jamal Murray because I actually think he'll have an impact that will be similar to what Brunson does at Villanova, in that I think by the time we get to March, it's going to be no doubt about it that the most important player and the guy that's doing the most overall for a Kentucky team that should probably be a 1-2 or at worst a 3 seed is Murray. So I went a little bit against the grain there because I don't know if Simmons and LSU are going to have the same kind of success. Murray's at Kentucky, could have a little bit of influence there. So Murray is my freshman of the year.
Makes sense to me. It is interesting at Kentucky that you could reasonably pick three different guys as their best player. Like some people think it'll be Scow, who's presumed to be the number one pick of the draft. Others, and I think lots actually, think it could be Murray. And yet if you talk to the Kentucky staff, they'll tell you it's going to be Tyler Ulis. Like, that's when you know you're pretty good, when you've got three, you know, I think Ulis is a future pro. Three future pros, all of whom could reasonably be called your best player. So it's a new cast of characters for Kentucky, but they're going to be overwhelming at times, just like always. All right, let's wrap up this. I guess what amounted to a baby podcast. It was really just a baby podcast.
All right, we did college football. We did Major League Baseball. We did baby podcast. Hey, we're ready for the freaking season. Finally. It's here.
It is here.
We'll chat on Monday?
Yes, we're going to chat again on Monday, I promise. So remember, you can subscribe to the and I don't think we'll talk about babies at all, unless Norlanders happens to come this weekend. Probably won't even speak about babies in any form on Monday. I can go ahead and
I'm not convinced.
I shouldn't tie myself to any sort of standard because you never know. But my plan will not. Of course, my plan today was not to talk about babies. So who knows? Maybe we'll do another hour on babies. Subscribe to the Ion College Basketball Podcast on iTunes. Quickest way to get your hands on the latest episodes. Go do that. And either way, we're going to talk again on Monday. Have a nice opening weekend of the college basketball season. Take care.